Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. There's some smiling faces now. I hope there'll be some smiling faces at the end. But the truth is, there's only one place where we can draw our strength from. And if nothing else, I pray that whatever I say today would draw you closer to the one who gives life, and further away from the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Because Jesus came to give us life, and he came to give us life in abundance. And it was good listening to Tony last week, you know, because so often we try to lean on our own understanding. But actually, there's only one who's all truth. There's only one who's all knowledge. There's only one who is here with us wherever we are. There's only one who wants a close relationship with us that is so perfect that we can't get from anywhere else. I mean, my wife's pretty good, but she's not perfect. And I'm sure she'd tell you I'm not perfect. And sometimes we demonstrate our lack of perfection. But there's one thing Jesus never does, is demonstrate a lack of perfection, because he is perfect in all his ways. And he's a good shepherd. And he's a guide. So we're going to have a look at John 10, verse 1 to verse 10. I love the book of John, because you can be in no doubt as to who Jesus is when you read the book of John, 1 John, Revelation, the books that John wrote. If you have any doubts as to who Jesus is, read those books, because you cannot be in any doubt who he is. Okay, shall we read it together? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to him. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. So that's what we're going to focus on. But if any of you know me, I can go in all sorts of directions, because I don't want it to just be a three-point sermon, because that's not the way God created me. And sometimes, as I'm talking, something comes into my head, and if I believe it's from the Holy Spirit, I'm going to say that, because to me, that's far more important. If I can get out of the way of this, that's even better. And if God can move among us, that's the goal, because it's only through the touch of the one who gives us life, who brings light into our darkness, it's only through that touch that things change, that we're changed, that we become closer to him. Because Jesus also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I think most people have heard that, because, you know, it's true, and it's a well-known thing, but do we really understand what he means by that? Because the good shepherd will always look after his sheep. And Jesus is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd will always do everything to protect those sheep. And Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd will feed us the truth. And Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd will show us the way. And the path is a narrow path, but he will lead us along that path. And the good shepherd comes to bring us life. He doesn't want us falling into pitfalls and traps that the enemy sets for us. He wants to warn us so that we don't fall into those things. He wants us to come to love him because he demonstrates his love to us. And he demonstrated his love to us by the cross, by dying on that cross for us. So this is the good shepherd that we have. There is no malice in Jesus. There is no manipulation in Jesus. Jesus wants to lead us into all truth, but he does it as a loving father, as a loving guide. Through the love of the power of his Spirit, he is the guide. And the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And Jesus sent us his Spirit. When we became born again, if you are born again, if you don't know Jesus, then it's really important you get to know him, because you can't possibly be guided by the Holy Spirit unless you're born again. So if you have any doubts as to where you stand with Jesus, then talk to Graham or talk to somebody who can help you, because it's very important that we are born again. You see, when we were born, we came through water and blood, but we came as fallen beings. We came as, we were in darkened. You know, little children are not perfect. Little children will rebel. It doesn't take them long. Okay. You might have an idea before you have children. Yes, I can get my children to do exactly what I want to do, but you'll soon find there's a lot of rebellion in them. You know, and it's only through the teaching of Jesus, and it's only through coming to the knowledge of Jesus that he helps so that we become enlightened. But yeah, we're all children of God, and we're all rebellious in our nature, because the flesh is dark. And one day the flesh will die. One day, because when we have new bodies, there's no flesh and blood in heaven. You know, there's a perfect body that will not be destroyed, that will not be corrupt, that will be full of the light and the glory of the Lord, because it's his light that will guide us. And it's his light that guides us now. The thing is, sometimes we don't see that light, or we don't acknowledge that light. Pilate said an interesting thing, didn't he? He said to Jesus, "What is truth?" And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and he said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." If you remember, his wife had had a dream, basically saying, "This is a righteous man, you know, don't touch him." And Pilate washed his hands of the blood of Jesus. So Pilate acknowledged the innocence of who Jesus was, that there was no fault in him whatsoever. But it was the religious people, it was the Pharisees that desired to kill him. But it was Jesus who knew what he had to do. It was the Father that sent him to his death for us, because he loved us. And because it's only through his death that we can come to life. It's only through the shedding of blood that we get life, because blood gives us life. Try living without any blood. It's impossible. And yet the blood of Jesus is constant. For those that know him, those that acknowledge him, those that recognize his death and his resurrection and his ascendancy as king of all, for those he gives life through his blood. It's his blood which brings us life. So it's really important when we have that communion. We understand that it's only through his blood, through his sacrifice, through his body that was beaten and bruised for us, that we receive all that we need from him. Now, if you don't acknowledge that, you cannot possibly have any communion with God, because that's what communion means. It's a relationship that comes through the shedding of his blood and the battering of his body. Jesus also said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world," this is in John 18:36. "If my kingdom were not of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." So we're back to the hearing of his voice and the truth that is Jesus Christ. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So what stops us hearing the truth? Well, Jesus gives us a clue in saying the kingdom is not of this world. So his kingdom is not of this world. We need to find the kingdom that belongs to Jesus Christ, because he is our king. And so we need to acknowledge his kingdom, and we need to look up and not down. It's very easy to focus on the things of the world, but there is a kingdom which we belong to, which is not of this world. It's a kingdom which we will come into one day, but we already have it now. If that makes sense. We might live on this earth, but one day we will live in a world which is provided from the light of God. We will live in his light. We won't have sun anymore. We won't have a moon anymore. We will actually live in his light. He's all-sustaining light. There'll be no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow. Everyone knows when somebody dies, there's something not right. And yet, Jesus came to give us life, that we may have it more abundantly. So there's something called eternity. And in that eternity, we have life. So we don't need to worry about death, because we know there's a greater life that's in him, where there'll be no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow. I don't think there's ever a person who's not touched or hasn't been touched when somebody's died. Maybe they were very close to them. Maybe it was a child. I know my cousin drowned when they were 3 years old, and we'd been on a boat with them prior to that, and we'd had some great times. And then to come to the knowledge that your little cousin, 3 year old, has drowned is shocking, because such a young life, and you think, why? But we know God is greater, and we know not to lean on our own understanding, but we know there is suffering. But in Jesus, we can find life and peace. And in his truth, he sheds light on every situation. It doesn't matter what happens in this world, you will have troubles. But if you know Jesus, you can still have peace in those troubles. We sing that song, Danny's, "He is my peace in my troubled sea." But you can't come to that knowledge unless you come into the sheepfold. You can't come to that knowledge unless you come to know the one who is truth. You see, God wants to provide things for us. God wants to heal us of our wounds. God wants to heal us of depression or sickness. God wants us to live by the fruit of his Spirit, so that we can experience his joy and his love, so that we can experience his mercy and his kindness. God wants all those things for us. But in order to receive what God wants for us, we have to realize that the kingdom of God is based on truth. The kingdom of the enemy is based on lies. The kingdom of God is based on light. The kingdom of the enemy is based on darkness. The kingdom of God, therefore, is about giving our lives fully to him, so that we accept the truth that he reveals to us. See, when I was searching for God, I found it so hard to find him. He always seemed so distant. I've got the Diocese of Peterborough here. I was confirmed at the age of 14. I just found it in a trunk recently. But it didn't change me one bit. And I certainly didn't do the things that is written on here, the duties of church membership. I didn't follow the example of Christ in home and daily life and bear personal witness to him. I wasn't regular in private prayer day by day. I would pray when I needed God, when everything was going wrong. But I wasn't willing to change my life. It was almost like I was treating God like some sort of genie, you know, come and help me, rescue me in this situation. You know, it was quite manipulative, really. You know, and you can't manipulate God. And God won't want to give you things which will do you harm. You know, I did come to church every Sunday because I was at a boarding school and there was a church there. And so that was an easy one. But, you know, you can't become a Christian by following a list of rules. It doesn't work. Christianity is based on relationship. It's not based on a set of rules. As much as those things are good, you know, it's good to give money for the work of the parish, as long as they spend it wisely. It's good to uphold the standard of marriage entrusted by Christ to his church. That's definitely good, and I didn't do that. It's good to care that children are brought up to love and to serve the Lord, and I didn't do that. But it was part of a journey, and God had his hand on me even in those days. And sometimes we have to look at life as a journey. And some of you are on a journey where you haven't fully realized the truth about what it is to give your life to Jesus. I know that from my own experience. Because I treated my salvation as an insurance policy. But then one day, after I'd been depressed, and I'd heard somebody talk about, heard a testimony, I realized I was missing something. And I realized, actually, I couldn't cope without God. I finally got to that stage where I realized I couldn't cope without him. I needed him. And I needed to know if he was really there. And so I actually said, Lord, I can't cope. If you're real, you're going to have to reveal yourself to me because I've got to the end of myself. And I think he was pleased. Finally, he's got to the end of himself. Does he not realize that's what I've been trying to get him to do all the time so that he would finally trust in me and realize that, you know, you can't control your life. Your life will spiral out of control without God. Sooner or later, you'll hit a wall and you won't be able to get over it. And I used to write a lot of poetry because I was quite depressed. And I actually found something, and this will give you an idea of the state of mind I was in. It says, emotions running high today, going all the way, tears and laughter. What are we after? Am I happy? Am I sad? Am I mad? Feeling deep inside, can they hide? I hear a voice, it's my choice. Tears running down, I've gone to town. It's there to see, is it really me, feeling high or low? Can I really know what is right? Where's the fight? I hear a voice. It's my choice. Believe in me. What can I see? Believe in you. What can you do? Believe in life. You need your wife. Believe in God. Am I odd? I hear a voice. It's my choice. And so I was on this journey. I was on a journey of looking for God, but I didn't know where to find him. And so I went into lots of churches for a while. I thought, I believed in the God of the Christians. I'd had some funny ideas, mind. But so I thought, I'll go in various churches. And I couldn't find him. Isn't that sad? I actually was looking for God, and I actually went into churches, to find this who I thought was a distant God. Yet I couldn't find him. We did end up in Penrith Methodist Church for a while, and I did make a commitment to God, but I realized I was treating him as an insurance policy. And the thing is, there is no insurance policy with Jesus. It's a life policy. You give your life to him. You know. And when you do give your life to him, there's nothing better. Because you realize, I don't have to rely on my own ability. I don't have to rely on myself. It's not about ambition. It's not about competition. It's not about comparison. I don't have to compare myself with anybody else. I'm on a journey. And I'm in a relationship. And that relationship is precious because I know God loves me. You see, that day when I gave my life to him, he relieved me of my depression. I have not been depressed since. Wesley said my heart was strangely warmed. That's the only thing I can tell you. My heart has been strangely warmed, and it still is warm today. But that was because I needed God in my life. I needed Jesus. I needed to know the truth, because what is truth? I needed to know the truth. I got depressed when I thought about what's this all about? What's my life all about? What's the purpose of my life? You know, I was supposed to be a millionaire by the time I was 40. Instead, I had huge debts. And even in that, God helped me. Because I was going bankrupt. We nearly lost our house. Very nearly. I had £45,000 of credit card debt. Has anybody got £45,000 of credit card debt? I hope not. Because you can't pay it off. It's just like, I couldn't get a remortgage because I didn't earn enough. So the banks were happy for me to give me more credit cards, but they weren't happy for me to have a remortgage. And how that all happened was amazing. And it was after I got saved. But do you know what? The day I got saved, I had peace. I was suicidal one day, and the next day, I was at peace. That's a miracle. And that is because the one who is all light, the one who is all truth, spoke to me. Not in a loud voice, but he revealed himself to me. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was with me. And if you don't know that the Holy Spirit is with you, then you need to seek the Lord with everything you have. Because that is the only thing that counts. The love that God pours on us to heal us, to strengthen us, just to show us that he loves us, is more powerful than anything that will ever happen in your life. And I phoned up the local minister and I said, I'm so excited I found the Holy Spirit. And I probably told you this, and I don't care how many times I tell you it, because he said, well, don't get too excited because you'll come down again. And I made a decision then, no. I don't want to be where I was. I don't want to go back. Why would I want to go back to my old life? Because the life that I'd found, I knew was real. And the life that I'd found, I knew had changed me. Changed my whole outlook on life. But that's the beginning. It was like I'd come to this point where my life had changed. But I knew that wasn't the end of it. That was the beginning. And Jesus needed to do a work in me. And continues to do that work, because without him, I couldn't do it. I was determined I wasn't going to fall back because I'd discovered this truth. And I think there are moments in our lives, even Christians, where there's a revelation of God which you cannot deny, and it changes your whole outlook. And I want the church to understand that every person can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not restricted. He doesn't restrict his love. He doesn't restrict his mercy. But he wants to lead us into all truth. Do you know, when I got saved, the song kept going around in my head, and it was, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And he led us. He took us to places where we started to learn. He took us to meet people. There were surprising meetings just a week or two afterwards. We had a scripture that talked about new wine. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. And we soon realized we needed to move on, because where we were going, we weren't getting the food we needed. Do you know, I had a dream, because that's, God speaks to me a lot in dreams. And I was in a queue, and there was a queue of people, and I recognized them. There was no one here, by the way. And they were going up to get food, and it was like, if you can imagine, the worst food possible, just like this stuff they scooped up and they slopped into a plate. And I looked at that and I thought, I'm not eating that. And they were all happy just eating away on this stuff. I said, I'm not eating that. And then I heard a voice, and the voice said, pack your own lunch. And I knew then that the Lord was saying, you have to learn the scriptures for yourself. And I knew, and when he said, pack your own lunch, in my spirit, I saw fruit. Because I knew I couldn't afford to live in a way which was detrimental to my relationship with God. I knew I needed the fruit of the Spirit to come into my life. Because I was a very angry person before I got saved. I once put a hole through my son's door. I was so angry with him. I know some of you find this hard to imagine. I once pinned my neighbor's child to a wall. And actually, I told the father of this child, and he said, you did the right thing. So I got away with that one. But thankfully, I didn't punch you. I wasn't violent. But I was, my nature was violent. I was threatening. And your wife doesn't like your husband to be threatening. You know, I'd allowed things to get so on top of me. I'd be quite calm most of the time, and then it would be like a volcano. And when I erupted, I was out of control. So I certainly didn't have self-control. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. But I'm just trying to be honest with you. You know, I think, talk to people who knew you, and they will tell you how God's done a work in you. You know, I don't boast of anything but what Jesus has done in my life. Because I wasn't capable of making those changes in the state I was in. I'd read every positive book on the face of the planet, virtually. I'd read How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I don't know if any of you've been down that line, and it's good to think positive, you know. But we have to remember that the one who provides everything we need is Jesus. You can read as many books as you like. But it's only through that relationship of Jesus that we come to know the truth and that we come to be changed, healed, delivered, set free. And his desire is for each and every one of us to be set free. So we started to see how Jesus was teaching us through sometimes through other people, you know, and it's important sometimes, you know, and I know Gordon does studies for people to help them get to grips with the word. It's important that we get to grips with this word of God. But I also found that God started giving me insight on things. And if I wasn't sure of something, I needed to meditate on it. Because sometimes, you see, I've had people who've had a tremendous influence on my life for good since I've come to know Jesus. I've also seen some terrible teachers who've, we had one once who started talking about Adam and Eve being a myth. Well, you don't want that when you come to church because, you know, because the foundation of our teaching is in Genesis. So it's important we understand that God is the creator of all things and he wouldn't just let something evolve. You know, he created us in his image. And Adam was perfect. In fact, they called Jesus the second Adam, didn't they? You know, so it was through Adam's disobedience to God that he became corrupted. But God wants to help us to become more like Jesus. Our Father wants us to become more like Jesus. Our Father sent Jesus to set us free. So, sometimes, you see, I'm leading up to something here. I know I might sound as if I'm waffling a bit, but there is some importance in this because sometimes we ask things of God and we think, why doesn't he listen to us? But there is a process we go through. There is a molding process that God takes us through. And sometimes that's hard because we have to face issues. We have to look at ourselves. We have to examine ourselves. And we have to allow God to examine us. And there's a vulnerability. And I think one of the first times I preached here, I talked about nakedness, being naked before God. Because Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God, all of a sudden they needed clothes. They needed a covering. They needed the blood covering, didn't they? But God wants us to be transparent and open and honest. He already knows everything. He just wants us to be honest with him. Lord, I'm struggling here. I know this is wrong. Help me. And he will. I'll guarantee he will help you if you really want him to. Whatever it is you're struggling with. He helped us with our finances. It was round about 10 years ago. We owed about £100,000. When I last checked, we owe about 30-something. That's happened in the space of 10 years, and everything's very manageable, and it's all on a mortgage, apart from a loan, business loan, but that's fine. So God can help you in your situations, you know. The thought now of losing our home was, I can't imagine having done that, but our home has become rebuilt with our lives. I have stripped that house. I have insulated that house. Our house is now warm. Our house is a place we like to come. And you know, as we took the walls down, as we stripped it, I wrote scriptures. And I wrote things like the names of God on the fabric inside the walls. And I put blood on the doorposts. I wrote blood on the doorposts. And that's to remind me, just like we take communion, we take it in remembrance. You see, I'm going off track now, aren't I? But I don't care. Because it reminds you of who Jesus is. If you want to know God, find out who he is. Search the names of God for a start, because that will help you discover more about him. We talk about it, he doesn't change. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So discover who he is. But you know, going back to John 10, it says, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. It's important that we hear his voice. It's important that we open ourselves to hear his voice. Because if we don't hear his voice, we end up doing things that we think are God. Or we end up allowing our own desires to overrule those of God, if that makes sense. You see, the one thing I learned is God loves childlike faith. But that's not childishness. There's a maturity that comes, but there's a childlike faith that we need. That childlike faith is a trust. That childlike faith is coming to God and believing what he says. That childlike faith is what a child has when they talk to their parents. Okay? See, God wants to give us good things. He does want to give us good things. But sometimes we don't get because we ask amiss. Matthew 19:14, it says, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them and blessed them. So that's Matthew 19:14-16. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. You see, God wants to raise the faith level in us. And one of the first things we started to experience when we became Christians was healing. Obviously, he healed me of depression. But then we saw other people getting healed of various things. He healed Janet of celiac disease. He healed me of neuralgia. I never asked for it, by the way. I just never had it again. I think it was all linked to depression. And God does things for us when we don't even ask him, because he loves us. We were involved in a healing rooms, and we saw, talking about cancer, we saw a lady healed of cancer who was given no hope whatsoever. And that's a longer story, you know. Might tell you about it sometime. But God, and interestingly enough, she hasn't come to know the Lord yet either. But she's had the gospel. I don't understand it personally. I don't understand how you can be healed of a terminal disease and still not turn to God. It doesn't make sense to me. But lean not on your own understanding. Maybe it's a journey. Maybe she's on that journey. We're all on a journey, but let's hope we get to the right destination. So, childlike is good. Childishness is not good. We need to grow in maturity with God. So James 4, 1 to 3 says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires or pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." You see, sometimes, you see, when we had our own business, we were putting up pictures of Ferraris, and it was all based on what we wanted, yeah? We wanted a better life, what we thought was a better life. But stuff is not a better life. Stuff is stuff, and it becomes a god. You know, it's like idols in front of you. So we cannot afford to put these idols in front of us. So don't worry about what God will provide for you. He will always do what's best for you. Just trust Him. Our things belong to Him anyway, not, you know. I used to be one of the meanest people around. You know, I like to denigrate myself, don't I? But it's true. I thought, well, I haven't got any money. I can't afford to be generous to anybody. But life doesn't work like that. You know, as you sow, you reap. And interestingly enough, I've got to a position now where I actually enjoy giving things away. It makes me happy. I can honestly say it didn't make me happy before. I was not a very happy person. I was not very nice to be around. I could have a laugh. And maybe I'm a bit hard on myself, but I'm just trying to illustrate a point. You know, I think I enjoyed my misery sometimes. Does anybody been like that? You actually start to enjoy being miserable? But anyway, the point is, there's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. There's three things that affect our relationship with God. So when we ask, we're often asking for God to make our lives better. But you see, our better is not always God's better. And so we have to come to a point where we start to trust that God will provide whatever we need. You see, I don't want to be blessed with certain things if it's going to affect my relationship with God. If God suddenly gave me a lot of money, who knows? It might be actually detrimental to me. So I have to trust God that whatever He does is good. I don't want to end up falling in certain areas because God has said, right, there you go. And actually, that's not what I need right now. Does that make sense? Sometimes we're better off not having too much. Because as we know, riches can really deceive people and lead them away from God. I mean, Solomon is a classic example, isn't he? He had everything. And yet, his relationship with God deteriorated. It started off wonderfully well. So sometimes we don't receive because we ask amiss. Maybe the motive of our heart's not right. Maybe the focus is more on us than on others. So there's lots of reasons, but think about that one. But I'm going to go back to the beginning, really, because at the end of the day, Jesus wants to give us life and life in abundance. Now, I've heard all sorts of preaching on abundance. Abundance is not a Ferrari, okay? Abundance is giving us every good thing. There are riches that are beyond treasures. There is only one treasure, and that is Jesus Christ. So if we put our trust in Him, He will help us live a life which has purpose, has meaning, has fulfillment. You see, when I got that, given the choice of that slop, I made a decision there and then. I'm not going to be. I want to be separated. I want to, because there's a separation that comes sometimes where you say, I don't care what other people think, because fear is motivated a lot of the time through what other people think. We have to get over what other people think. The only thing that counts is, what does God think? What does Jesus think about what I'm doing? You know, that's the only thing that matters. So remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And love is often misunderstood, because love is more. You see, sometimes you think you're loving somebody because you give them something. And actually, the very thing you're giving them is actually helping them continue in what they shouldn't be continuing in. Does that make sense? You see, I once had a Christian come against me over something. And I wanted to justify myself. I wanted to justify what I'd done, because I'd done it for the right reason, the right motive. But I felt the Holy Spirit saying, no, you're not allowed to tell him anything. Interestingly enough, several years later, they actually apologized to me. I didn't fight it. I didn't defend myself. I just allowed God to deal with it. And sometimes we do things to help people which are actually not helping them. Sometimes God doesn't want us to pray for a certain person. I know that can sound harsh, but sometimes they have to go down a certain route in order to bring them closer to God. You know, I had to go down a very dark route at periods in my life, but I am thankful for those moments, because it's through those moments that I started to call on God. But God wants us to live by the fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. In other words, if we live our lives according to those principles, then we will be loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. We will be loving our neighbors as ourselves. We will not be subject to any law. We are free because we are in Christ Jesus. So freedom comes in Christ Jesus. If you start to wander outside of Christ Jesus, then you will be subject to darkness. You will be subject to manipulation, to witchcraft, to control. Those things will come and affect you. I know. Because there are times when I've taken on board something which isn't true, and then God will give me a dream about it, and it'd be like I'm smoking a cigarette or something. So it'd be a wrong spirit. So these things can affect us if we allow them to. So trust in God, don't trust in man, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, not yet seen. Fear will lead you to trust in the wrong things. Trust in God to release you from fear. Trust in God to save you from yourself. Trust in God that He is all truth, and He is all knowledge, and He is all power. And He will lead you. He will guide you. Because He will not come to steal. He will not come to kill. He will not come to destroy. That is only the enemy who does that. We have a God who comes to bring life, and He comes to bring it abundantly. So Father God, I want to thank You for all that You provide. I want to thank You for Your love, for Your kindness, for Your mercy. And Father, I pray that we live in a way that is merciful. I pray that we live in a way that is kind and loving. I pray, Father, You would help us change and develop and grow and mature into the person that You've created us to be. We pray that we would have influence in the right areas. We pray that we would guide and lead others into the truth that comes from you, that we would boast on your goodness, that we would boast on your kindness, that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, that we would look to you for all things. So lead us, Lord, guide us, and melt our hearts, Lord, as we come into a greater knowledge of who you are. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen.